You're listening to the Two Dead Chicks podcast. I'm Melissa.
I'm Kia.
And today we're here to talk about Season 9, Episode 2, The Bridge. But before we get into all that, just a reminder, you can find us on all the socials. We are Two Dead Chicks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can find our podcast pretty much anywhere you can find your podcast these days. We are on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. And if you have feedback, make sure to send that to us during the week. And you can also use hashtag TDC pod. Oh, it's mercy.
It's a new thing. They're not up on it.
That's it. Hashtag.
Get it together, guys. We're putting you on this new stuff. Okay.
That's right. We're going to make hashtag happen. And yeah, our email is twodeadchicks@gmail.com. By the way, when you have feedback, you can send that to us. Speaking of that, we actually had some holdover feedback from last week. This one's coming to us from Miss Jess. She says, "Hi, ladies. Just finished listening. It feels so good to have you and The Walking Dead back. My thoughts. Karzekiel chemistry was off. It's not just you. I'm here for this ship, but it's not working for me now. And now that they've gone canon..." And I feel horrible saying that because I side-eyed people who said the same thing about Rishon, and while I'm saying potentially unpopular things, I'll keep going. I think the problem is Melissa McBride, who is typically flawless. I know Carol is meant to be sarcastic and being all lovey-dovey would seem out of character, but it felt less like stiff writing and characterization and more like stiff execution on her part. Kia, imports from the Dust Bowl. Bye! That was pretty great. Mm-hmm. Daryl being a big boy and using his words. I'm feeling it. Rick, y'all, I'm so sad. Seeing him in this episode with Jude's, Michonne, Team Fam, and baby Herschel really just reminded me that he's such a family man at heart. I think his fulfillment comes from putting in a hard day's work and spending time with his loved ones. And my God, he loves his Michonne so much it hurts my heart. He's in over his head as leader right now. And ultimately, I feel like he's going to take the fall because of it. I want to stop this train, see what I did there, and just let Rick go home to Alexandria and live happily ever after with Michonne, Jude's, maybe a few babies, and a dog while they're at it. I'm not sure I can stomach this. Great work as usual, ladies. Thanks, Miss Jess. Oh, and she also said, P.S. Kia, you sound sick. Rest up and get better in time for Atlanta.
I was sick.
I know. You still don't sound great, but I know you say you feel pretty good.
Did you get what she did there?
The all aboard the Rick, what was it? What do we call it? The Rick Express?
No.
What?
Stop This Train is a John Mayer song.
Oh.
It's a John Mayer song about wanting to stop this whole, you know, like,
oh, stop getting older. This train. I want to get off. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
My head was not going to John Mayer, though. Though, to be fair, it doesn't generally.
Yeah.
By the way, I think I kind of skipped over this. I don't know what I'm doing today, guys. I don't know. It's my first day on the job. Sue me. Or don't. When you find our podcast, make sure to leave us a review. That always helps us to find new members of our family. And speaking of reviews, we had a new one this time, and it's coming from Pascali. I love Pascali. She says, "I stumbled across this podcast while at work, wanting to discuss the latest episode of The Walking Dead with equally obsessed coworkers. Since then, these two ladies always say exactly what I think of the major and minor characters, and even share my adoration of Rick and Michonne, who are the only reason I watch this show. They provide character analysis, episode summaries, and most importantly, a community where we share a love and sometimes plain old hate for the show. I'm so sad this is their last season." Oh, so sad. I know.
Also, just for the whole review thing, like, I don't want to, like, scold people, but it's also, like, one of those things, like, guys, you get this stuff for free. It's, like, free entertainment.
True.
This is mm-hmm. the least you could do. Just throw us a nice little review.
We also accept monetary donations. No, I'm just kidding.
Defeats the purpose of me saying it was free.
But I'm just saying, if they would rather, if you want to give us
but
money,
it's just,
advice.
You know, it just takes a quick minute out of your day, and it just helps us out.
It does. And seriously, it does. Like, it always, every time we get a new one, it just makes our day. So
make our day.
How cool would it be? I mean, we're in our last season, but it would be super cool to go out with 100 reviews. And we're already at like 72. So come on, guys.
Speaking of 100, this was Andy's 100th episode as Rick.
I don't want to think about the numbers because that makes me think of about the other number.
Oh, that number. Those things are completely unrelated.
I know.
I'm just saying it's been 100 times since he's been on our screen as Rick. Man, that's a lot.
It is a lot. That means we've talked about him over 100 times. Yeah. On the show. Not to mention the other hundreds of times when we weren't on the show. So much. Oh, man. Our time is limited.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with that. You can't go low, gotta go high.
I know, I can't help it. I just can't. Ugh. Moving on. Episode 2.
Oh, what'd you think about it?
I liked it. I mean, I still felt pretty good about where we're at. I mean, there's definitely some interesting things going on. Daryl's still using whole-ass sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we've got Bradley Cooper savior out there. He's giving me major Jackson Maine vibes from A Star Is Born. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, this long-haired savior that is nothing but trouble. Yeah, he's giving me major Jackson Maine vibes. Don't
he's
like
a
him.
Pirate. Yeah, he was a pirate on some like the Long John Silver show or something like that. that's where I've seen him before.
He randomly came up in one of my social media feeds, and I was like, "Who is this? I don't remember this person." And then now I definitely remember him. But ladies, if you are interested, you should definitely check out his Instagram, which is McGowan Zach with an H, and ooh, pretty, pretty, pretty. Yep.
Well, let me look this up now. So you were impressed with
I'm with impressed Daryl with the content. yeah, he is not. He definitely gives me some major Bradley Cooper vibes, especially when he's got his hair pulled back.
Oh, I'm talking about the show. You're still on.
I'm still on this guy. I'm still on this guy, man. I was like, oh, who is this? Okay, sir. No, I did. I liked it. I really enjoyed the talks between, or really just seeing them on screen together, you know, Maggie and Michonne again. That was pretty fantastic. Our boo, our bae. Bless his heart, Aaron Bay. yeah. That was something. Glad to see that Enid is being useful. Anne, with an E. Or not. And Father Gabriel. I don't know. There's a lot. There's definitely some things. I don't know how I feel about them. But I'm just here for the ride. What about you?
There were a lot of things that I did like about this. I see that I am going to be grappling. I'm going to have a problem with this time jump. I just am. Because there were... That Maggie thing, like, I don't understand. Like, there was just some things that just didn't really mesh for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that Maggie had cells built because she anticipated that people would break rules.
Right.
But she never figured out what the rules were.
Right.
Or what the punishment for the rules would be. And I'm like, really? After there are so many things where it's like, after a year and a half, I just really have a problem with this. I have a problem with Rick and Daryl, actually.
Yeah.
And after a year and a half, I don't know if this rings true to me. It just doesn't. It depends on so many things that I don't know about. And so I'm kind of like, we'll see if it ends up making sense. I really want it to.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm sitting here like this kind of feels manufactured. I did like the tension in the episode. I did feel like, you know, I felt like things were at stake with this bridge. And I felt like Rick's like very tenuous hold on this whole situation. And I think that was very well set up from the last episode where we were introduced to this dynamic as it stands. And so just to know like what he feels is at stake with this bridge, what other people feel is at stake with this bridge. You know, this is really his whole solution for the savior issue. And for that's just, you know, where that makes sense why he would want to push so hard, like, because he just wants to get this done so that that whole situation can kind of, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Resolve itself in his eyes.
Right.
Just to be like, okay, this is done. So this is what the saviors need. So we should be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really felt that. I felt his stake in it. But, yeah, we'll get to it later. But, yeah, like I said, that stuff that was a little manufactured for me, I was like, I'm going to have a problem with this if this is has anything to do with how Rick goes out.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the time thing is still weird because there's so much of it that I feel like it doesn't make sense that it's happening this far out in the future to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's they're talking like a month later or 2 months maybe.
Right, right. Yeah. But yeah, I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going, which is miles difference from those previous seasons where, you know, like we had that episode where it's like, this is, like I said, this is what Rick sees as the problem. And now we see him actually tackling the problem as he sees it, as opposed to whatever was happening
right
before. So if for nothing else, I thought this was okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I'm with you. At this point, I'm just like, okay, whatever y'all got. I'm just here. I'm here to take it. I'm here to soak it in.
So what do we want to do? Do we want to do the stuff at the camp with the bridge building? Or do we want to do the stuff at Hilltop?
Totally up to you.
No, that's why I asked you.
I mean, really, it doesn't matter. My notes are all over the place. Like, I take them in order in which I watch it. So you can do it however you want, and I will follow along.
So what do you want to do first?
Woman. Pick. I don't care.
No, I literally asked you what you wanted to do first.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. This is weird. I asked you a question. You try to
put Hilltop. It back to me. Hilltop. Cool. Take me to Hilltop, girl. Take cool. me. Take me there. But don't give me any Eugene. I don't want any of that.
Well, he's not there.
I know.
So.
I don't want any of that at all, this whole episode. There was too much of him. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, you're still here. I forgot.
Yeah, he is. But not at Hilltop, because at Hilltop we see Michonne. She rides up there while Maggie is trying to tame a horse. Maggie looks super cute this episode. Yeah, she does. I gotta say, I like her little rat, her little head wrap, she's and adorable. Her boots. I was like, oh, she's so cute. So Michonne has just come from the sanctuary, and she's given an update on that whole corn alcohol ethanol gas situation, because they swear that they sent it last week, and Maggie's like, they're liars, we haven't gotten anything. And Michonne's like, yeah, no, I heard about that food though. definitely still need that food, so why don't you go ahead and give it to me. And Maggie gets her feathers a little bit ruffled, because when she tries to, you know, play a little bit of hardball about their reserves, Michonne's like, well, we definitely got you stuff at the run so that you could plow. Mm-hmm. So what's going on with that? And she's like, well, my blacksmith, I don't have blacksmith right now. She's like, okay, well, when are you going to get your blacksmith back? And there's a little bit of tension,
yep,
between these two, because Maggie, I mean, I said it last season, Maggie can be a little bit of a hothead, and Michonne's just like, okay, cool, I understand you did all this stuff, but we need to have some kind of resolution to it.
Yep.
Because if it's just going to be Earl, it's not just going to be Earl suffering if the plants don't get, you know. And then Maggie's like, oh no, Hilltop will be fine.
And it's just about you.
It's not. But I mean, like last season, and was the episode The Key, and that was the one where Georgie came, mm-hmm, and immediately Maggie was like, no, don't do it, blah blah blah, and Michonne's like, well, maybe we should think about something bigger, maybe we should think about it. And then Maggie is like, well, and then when they go out to meet Georgie and it turns out to be like probably okay, Maggie's like, no, just steal their food, we need to take care of us. And so it's like, okay, you still got a little bit of an attitude, and it's definitely a little bit of a no, us first thing,
mm-hmm,
which again, I don't necessarily think that she shouldn't be looking out for Hilltop.
Right.
But it's like, the way that they're writing this, or the way that Maggie is approaching her relationship with Michonne, it's like, you guys are family.
Right.
Why are you acting like this?
Exactly. And so what far you... out also. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, this tension feels fresh.
Right.
But it should. No. No.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I didn't even think about that, where the tension feels fresh. Because you're right. She clearly still has an attitude about what happened at the end of the war, mm-hmm, but it's like, how long has it been? Why are we still have an attitude?
Right.
And then just to think about all that Michonne has done, like, yeah, all that they've meant to each other, and all of the like the guidance, or the decision making, the rational decision making, like all those decisions that Michonne has made in the past that has really helped everyone, and for you to come like, no, we gonna be fine. It's like, that feels weird to me. That feels untrue.
Yes. It feels it doesn't feel authentic at all.
Right. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like them. I like both of them being strong leaders, and, both of them negotiating on behalf.
Yes.
But there's also an underlying relationship that feels like it hasn't, that it feels like it's not there. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that.
Agree. Yeah.
And maybe it is because she's just been holding a grudge for a year and a half. I don't know.
Like, girl, you got to stop holding on to all that anger.
Gotta let it go.
It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Maggie, we need to have like a, I don't know why I went to that weird voice just now, but we need like a therapy session with her.
I don't know. Where's Denise when you need her?
I know.
With an arrow in her head.
Oh.
Thanks, Dwight.
Well, you know, now that Enid is like the new, like, doctor person, maybe she can also like double, maybe she can also do therapy sessions. Maybe that's a thing she can do.
We need something.
I
don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like that little piece that feel, and I don't know. And a man wrote this, so I don't know if. So I don't know if it's truly there. He just didn't think about that kind of thing. Like, that kind of nuance wasn't in his mind. Or if I should actually be thinking that Maggie is just like a bitch. Like, I don't know.
She definitely, they have not. Yeah. Just not authentic to the character.
Yeah. And after this whole little, you know, standoff, Maggie just does kind of be like, well, you know, you're welcome to spend the night if you want to. Michonne's like, thanks, I will. And I love the way she said it. She was like, I know I can spend the night. You think I was leaving?
Right.
and this also brings up a this is like what I was talking about. There are so many things that have like parallels to what happened when the group first came to Alexandria and what Deanna was trying to do, because this is a very similar situation to Pete. And it's like, what do you do when a community member with skills like breaks rules?
Right.
And so you still haven't figured, you didn't.
Never thought about that?
Never thought about that again. Like, it's like we're rehashing. I wish we would have just like learned. Like, I kind of wish somebody would have brought that up. Like, oh, okay. Well, remember what happened with Pete? You know, do you think that way? You know, just anything. Just, no, we just out here like, I've never thought of this. This is weird. This is the first time I've ever encountered this.
Yeah.
So while Michonne is unpacking, she hears Tammy pleading with Jesus. I'm back to calling him his fake name, to let her see Earl. And Jesus is sympathetic, but he can't allow her to see him without Maggie say so, because, you know, he did try to kill her and everything. And Tammy's like, I got rights. You can't take him away from me.
Tammy looking rough out here.
Tammy got nothing else.
No.
I do like, I feel like, I knew this was Brett Butler and I know her name, but I feel like I don't remember stuff I've seen her in.
Yeah, I don't either.
She's good. I mean, she's a name. Mm-hmm. So I guess that makes sense. But I mean, I think she's good in this role of just being like at her wit's end.
Yep.
Like, what am I supposed to do? There's literally nothing else for me to do. She just sits down and is like, oh, Grace Under Fire. I think I did watch that show.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah. She's just really good at just being at her. Oh, ooh. I saw a, I'm now on her IMDb. And she's on the show for a minute. Huh. Like, oh, okay. I guess that's what you do when you get Brett Butler. But yeah. Oh, she was on Young and the Restless too. And My Name is Earl.
She was on My Name is Earl? Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. I definitely don't remember that. I did there watch it go. For like a minute, but.
But yeah, she's really good at this. And so she just sits down. She's like, you tell her I'm going to sit my ass down till I can see him. And Michonne is like, a perfect opportunity. And she intercepts Jesus as he walks away. And she really pushes him, because at first he's like not really trying to break ranks and be like, oh, it's not my choice. It's not my decision. And she really pushes him to say, you know, like, well, personally, I would not be against a grieving mother seeing her husband. And Michonne's like, boom. Well, why don't you say something to Maggie? Because she listens to you and she trusts you. And he's like, and I trust her instincts too. You know, maybe not all her actions, but I trust her instincts. And, you know, she's not going to be right about everything, but neither am I and neither are you. And I was like, that's so wrong.
Why did he even have to say that? I don't even know. I wasn't. Yeah. Well, I still don't like him. So.
Yeah. I guess I just don't like the position he's been elevated to. We talked about this last season. I'm like, who is Maggie's number two? Like, is it Enid? Thank God it's not. But it's Jesus. And I don't like it either.
That's just as bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't like him at all. I just don't like it. Like, you know, oh, this isn't my call. But yet everything, like last season, he was all about it being his call and telling people how they was going to live their lives. Like, what?
That's true. It's very true.
But now, no, oh, that's not my business. Okay. What? Who are you? You made everything your fucking business last season. A lot changes in a year and a half, I guess. He has seen the light.
Yeah, I did not like how he threw in there, like, you're not right all the time, Michonne, either. I'm like, well, I mean, history proves, for as long as you've known her, she's been right about everything.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, the only one in this equation that's not right is you, sir. So, back off.
But again, Michonne just takes that like, yeah, no, that's why I'm trying to make sure that we have something that's bigger than all of us. And he listens to that. He looks really like conflicted, like, I don't know what to do. And then we go to the next scene, and Maggie is playing with Herschel in her office.
So cute.
And we see that this office has been decorated with paintings of Glenn and Herschel and Beth and I don't know who else, but I definitely saw those three. And this is stuff that Jadis did just by, you know, description, just by people talking to her about these people. And she was able to get pretty good depictions of them.
Yeah. I still don't like her.
No, there's good reason not to. But that's a good reason. If nothing else, keep her around. I mean, because
you ain't got
no photos. It's nothing true. That has to be like amazing, just to be like, I never thought I would see that face again, and then there it is.
That's so true. Well, and she can also document a lot of things, you know, I mean, the way, like, for like history books for the future, you know, as they're documenting everything that's happening, she could write or draw out all this stuff.
Yeah,
kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
She still sucks.
Definitely. Maggie's baby gibberish is top notch in this, when she was doing a little tickle thing with Herschel. I was like, oh, that was so cute. That baby is adorable.
That baby is darling.
Yeah. So she and Jesus are discussing Georgie's constant invitations for Maggie to join them in their mystery community. But Maggie is good where she is. She's like, we're building the future here. And I'm like, for now, I was like, is this where Maggie's going to go when Lauren pieces out?
I guess.
I feel like that was real obvious.
Yeah.
Does she still want you to join her? Is she still inviting you every day?
Like, oh, okay. Thanks for telling us. We never would have known.
Right. So yeah, that was, if she goes there, it was right there. So Jesus decides to delicately bring up this whole Earl Tammy situation, and Maggie quickly connects that he's been talking to Michonne about this whole rules and laws thing. And Jesus is like, she's not wrong, Maggie. I'm like, exactly. So why are we trying to fight her before?
That's right. Oh, Jesus.
Oh. That guy. Maggie, she's just like, oh, so, you know, you won't admit it, but you think I'm wrong about how, you know, I want to handle Negan and how I'm handling Earl and how I handle Gregory. And all he'll say is that, you know, I think you're a good person and good people can disagree.
I feel like he's trying to say he's a good person in that, and I don't like it. I'm like, no, I don't like you at all. You're horrible. You're nothing but a troublemaker. So, no.
I will say I like his hair back.
Yeah, definitely a lot better.
Yeah. I think part of my there was many things, you know, that contributed to my irritation. But one of them, it was just like, why is your hair just flopping around? This is so impractical.
Yeah, looking like, you know, the flat iron of the early 2000s, very sleek and chic and shiny. And
yeah.
Yeah, nobody's going to have hair like that in the apocalypse. I'm sorry. Ain't nobody. We're all going to be frizzy as hell. And it's just, yeah, it's not going to look like that.
Yeah. Maggie takes this to heart. She softens a little bit and she lets Tammy see Earl, and she watches their reunion And she hears Earl talk about the shame that he brought to their family by falling off the wagon. These guys, I mean, they are, nobody talks like, let me not say that. I don't know anybody who talks like this. Talking about like the shame. I brought shame on our name. I'm sure there are, but it is a real throwback to hear him talking like that. But yeah, he said he was on the wagon for 20 years. Man. And that's a while.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you made a mistake, but it's fine. I forgive you. And God forgives you too. And they just, you know, they cry a little bit about how they miss, what's his face? What's his name? Kobe. So, what?
What was it? Ken?
Ken. 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 Yeah.
I was going to say Sam. Nope. Wished. Somebody, what was his name? No, Henry. I was thinking of Henry, not Sam. Henry.
Oh, God. So these two are good. They're good together. I like him. I think their relationship is believable.
Yeah.
When it's just like the world is just turned upside down and all they had were each other. And now their kid's gone. And now it's just really, they're just clinging on to each other. So a little bit later, Maggie comes back to visit Earl alone. And she just wants him to explain like how he ended up here drinking. Just tell her about him. And he says, he's basically a sloppy drunk forever. Like it was always bad. And it continued into after Ken's birth. He said he didn't even remember when Ken was born. And then one day he just pulled a Pooch Hall. Have you heard about this story?
No.
What this? He's an actor. I only know him from The Game, but apparently he's on some other show that's popular. But he was like really drunk, and then he let his 2-year-old drive the car because he was drunk.
Oh.
And the 2-year-old crashed the car because he's two.
Because he's two. Yeah.
I was like, that's the craziest story I ever heard in my life. But I feel like this is what Earl did.
Yeah.
He was just like, he just picked up his kid from the center, like, let's go. And Tammy ended up picking them up. And was just like, you're still my husband. This is a sickness. And we promised each other through sickness and health. And he's never had a drink since, except when Gregory gave it to him. And Maggie listens to all this and she thanks him. But then and she gets up to leave and Earl like weirdly asks, like, why didn't you kill me? You know, I was weak and I was sick, but that was in me. Gregory didn't make me do anything. And she's like, should I have killed you? I mean,
are you saying I made a mistake?
Right.
I can change that. Murderer Maggie.
And he pulls that back real quick. He's like, no, you didn't make a mistake. I thought that was a really good scene.
Yeah.
Later, Michonne approaches Maggie again. And this time they're on her balcony. And Maggie looks a little more open to Michonne, but Michonne still kind of deflects to like to just being real sincere, like, this is an amazing place you have here, Maggie. I didn't come to say otherwise. I didn't come to be like, you need to blah blah blah. And Maggie is like, well, I know why you came, and you know, I'm open to common laws, but I still want to reserve the right to do what's best for Hilltop. And Michonne's like, absolutely, us too. But I really think what's best for all of us will be best for Hilltop. And Maggie's like, I hope so. I really do. And she ends up giving up the food that she promised. And she says that she's doing it because now they have their blacksmith back to fix the plow. And he'll be doing it like supervised. And she'll have a council to figure out when he can get off probation. And Michonne's like, what happened? What changed? And Maggie shares that Herschel used to drink and that if he hadn't got a second chance, many people would be worse off. And Michonne's like, yeah, definitely me included. And Maggie's like, I'm still not going to apologize for killing Gregory. And Michonne's like, well, I mean, who really gets to decide these kinds of things? And Maggie's like, well, I guess that's one of the things we'll just have to iron out. And I liked that scene. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that. Well, tell me what you think. Well, tell me what you think about that dynamic.
You mean between Michonne and Maggie?
Yeah. Yeah. And between Michonne and Maggie, between Hilltop and Alexandria, like just what you thought about that.
I still feel weird about I don't know, just that there's not been any discussion prior to this. But I don't know. Like, I don't entirely understand where Michonne is coming from on the, like, not wanting to kill Gregory part. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I don't know that we can be in this world now and let people like Negan, you know, or whoever to continue on doing what they're doing. And I don't know. And using up these resources to take care of them. Like, you know, Gregory was one of those types of people. And it's not like he hadn't had a billion chances. So I don't entirely understand that, like how anybody could necessarily make an argument to keep him around, you know? Mm. So, yeah. I didn't entirely understand that, but I don't know. I'm glad that they're going to finally have this discussion that should have probably happened ages ago about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely see where you're coming from, because I think that there needs to be a like what she's saying now, like a council, a charter, mm-hmm. something like that between all the communities to make this decision, because I'm not saying Maggie's decision was right. I think it's right, but Maggie, I think the problem that Michonne had was that Maggie made it unilaterally.
Right.
And so if it was something where it's like, these are the rules, like this is what happens, this is how you get so many chances, and then this is what happens right. afterward, I think that would make more sense instead of it just being because, you know, Maggie decided. And Maggie is, we feel Maggie is just today.
Right.
Will she be just tomorrow?
Right.
But I also think the same thing needs to be applied to Negan. Because
yep.
they made that decision unilaterally.
Sure did, and didn't let her have anything to do with it.
Yeah, or any of the other communities. Mm-mm. So I definitely think this sword can swipe both ways.
For sure.
But I do think it needs to be something where it's not just Maggie decided and now this is what happened because this is what Maggie said.
Right.
I also kind of don't like the fact that Maggie has like this chip on her shoulder or whatever. And you got to be like, thank you, Maggie. Thank you for being so magnanimous with your food or whatever.
Right.
I'm not really with it.
Well, and I also don't feel, again, I don't really feel like it's super authentic either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, your point, I feel like, especially after the thing with Negan happened, I feel like there should have been some sort of discussion before 19 months after.
Right.
You know, where like, okay, we don't want this to happen again. So this is why we want to do this now. Yeah. But I mean, I get that, you know, Angela inherited the Hot Mess Express. And so I understand that, but still.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a little, my reservations are still the same as before, but I don't necessarily like everything being beholden to Maggie.
Nope.
I wish it was more equal.
Agreed.
But that's a step in the right direction. Like, I don't know, just the fact that they're like, thank you, Maggie, for agreeing to not just kill everybody.
I feel like they're giving her a lot more credit than credit is due for her, for everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't really know what they're doing with Maggie right now. but all I know is they're getting her out of here. So yeah. Maybe this is why. Maybe she really is a bitch and they're like, get the fuck out.
I feel like she has a really strong storyline, like yeah. these past two episodes, but it's also kind of like, all right, Maggie, you don't rule everything.
Right.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where that's going to go. But I did like it was like negotiations between the women. Speaking of which, like, what has Michonne been like? We know that from the earlier stuff with the bridge, we know that this has been 35 days. They've been working on this bridge for 35 days. So it's probably been like just about that time since we last saw Rick and Michonne in bed talking about, I'm going to work on the bridge. I'm going to work on the charter. We see Rick's been working on the bridge. Mm-hmm. She's just now coming around to the charter. What's she been doing?
Well, there you go. Again, another place where the time jump doesn't really make sense. 35 days later. Oh, about that charter. Oh, I forgot about that. It was on my to-do list. Just, what are y'all doing? Okay.
All right. So that was Hilltop. So now we're going back to the whole bridge situation.
Oh, the bridge.
And again, this it has been 35 days, as we have learned from a voiceover from Rick at the beginning of this. I did like Brandon Davis's tweet from comicbook.com said, more time has passed in episodes 9-1 and 9-2 than the entirety of season 7 and 8. It's so true.
It's true. And so sad when you think about it like that.
I know.
Holy shit. I mean, throw that shade, Brandon. Throw it.
I mean, but it's ridiculous. Two seasons on All Out War, and really that only took about maybe 2.5 weeks.
Yep.
And you're like, what?
Crazy. Now we're just like fast forward, you know. God. I loved also Rick standing up on that thing looking like Mufasa out here surveying the kingdom. I was like, yes, Rick. Looks super hot. Yes, King.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He looked real good. He looked real good this episode. And I do like how he and Michonne color coordinated, didn't even see each other. Because that's the power of love that they have. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So we have Rick. He's walking through the makeshift camp that they've set up. And he's looking like a proud papa because all his kids are getting along. And the voiceover is like, we're getting back to who we used to be. It doesn't define us anymore. And so as he's talking his shit. And we see Jerry and Nabila. They emerge from a tent. She gives him his battle axe to get ready for the day. And then she pulls him in for a kiss.
Yes.
And like, all right, Jerry and Nabila.
I'm super shipping that too.
I know.
They're cute as hell.
Yeah, they are. And then we see Arat and Barcode. They're also getting ready for the day. There are signposts for different communities, which we see is Alexandria, Hilltop, Sanctuary, Kingdom, Oceanside, Toledo, which we've never heard of before.
Like, who's that?
Toledo. Toledo is a city in Ohio. Seems a little far away.
Yep.
And then there's also a sign for HQ.
Yeah. Like what? What is that? What's happening?
Any ideas? Any thoughts?
Nope.
I was like, is Toledo Georgie? Like,
could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
But I don't know why it matters.
Right. If they're not active with them, I don't.
Right. Well, it did say Georgie come, like,
well, that's
drops
true.
Off letter. So they can't be that far away. They really honestly can. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. That was just an idea. I was like, maybe Toledo is wherever Georgie is.
Could be.
Definitely don't know where HQ is.
Definitely don't know about that.
All right. And then there's a sign that says the future.
Like, that's the bridge. Okay.
Right. Like,
Keep your pants on, Walking Dead. All right.
So then we see Zeke is still Henry's adoptive dad. Henry is still a thing.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know what? That's why I want to call him Sam, because it makes me think of Sam from before. Jesse, yeah. Sam. I just, all kids that I hate. Sam. That kid is Sam.
Yeah.
Henceforth.
He sucks. And he's not listening to Zeke's grand declaration that fixing this bridge basically puts them on the same path as the Roman Empire. And he's just like, this is boring, stupid. I'm like, you're right. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
But Carol joins them as Henry walks away and they joke about him going off college soon. And I was like, this is little weird Insta family. I'm not feeling it.
Chemistry's still super off for me.
Yeah.
It got a little better towards the end, but at this point I was like, I don't know what y'all are doing.
Right. It got a lot better for me at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't like their family. I don't like it. Also, everyone's super happy. Who's dying at the end of this? Carol or Ezekiel? Or Henry, who's dying?
Maybe all of the above. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I have theories based on comic knowledge, but we won't go into that.
I just think Ezekiel's dying. I just feel like he hasn't. I feel like they're not going to kill Carol.
Surely not. They can take Henry, aka Sam, aka kid we don't like.
Right. I think Henry's supposed to be new Carl.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would kill new Carl. I mean,
well, they killed old Carl. So.
Yeah, but then they came up with new Carl.
They can just come up with another new one. Just keep going with Marco. The new cycle until we get one we like.
Marco. We liked old Carl. But I think Ezekiel's dying. Yeah. I was like,
Yep.
He's too happy.
1,000%.
So, yeah, she says she's not coming back. The sanctuary's still not ready. And they have this weird goodbye where he's like, I know. In fairy tales, there's a happily ever after. But in the real world, we have to take the moments we can get. He's like, but I'm never giving up on our fairy tale. Hell no. And I was like, what? It seems like it has more gravity than it should. Like, if this was Rick Michonne, they'd just be like, I'll see you later.
Right.
See, this makes me feel like this relationship is new.
Very like much.
It hasn't been around the whole year and a half. This is just kind of just started. Because you're doing a lot.
I mean,
like, he wasn't even this pressed when she left originally.
No. He was not. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with this. I wanted it so bad. Now I'm like, oh. I really did. I was so hoping for this. And now I'm like, I don't know what we're doing. I'm not there yet, guys. I'm trying. I really want to be. I really do. I've been shipping this. Like, I want it. But also, I need y'all to work on it.
Yeah. It's just so extra. Like, and it's what we should expect. It's Ezekiel, but it just feels like you're doing too much. You're really trying to force this on me.
It is Ezekiel, but at the same time, like you said, he didn't even make that big of a deal about it before. So what?
Yeah.
What's changed? And especially if y'all have been in this relationship for a while. What? Okay.
And that makes me think they haven't been in for a while. It makes me think it's just kind of new.
Maybe it is. I mean, we don't really know. We don't know.
We don't know, but that's my biggest clue, is that he's freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never give up on our fairy tale. What?
Okay. Sure.
I'm just...
I'll never let go. I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Oh, goodness. So, Rick's, you know, walking through his camp, getting an estimate from Eugene that they only have about a week left before the levees that they built upstream will fail. And I do like that we have a definitive time of year. It is springtime. Mm-hmm. He gets an update from Rosita on the location and the size of the herds that they're tracking. They've named these herds like tropical storms. And I did like it because it's like, I mean, what? That's the only thing they can track. And it's, you know, it has the potential to be like calamitous if they don't know about it. So, yeah, now we're dealing with Horatio.
Yeah.
So Rick and Rosita agree they're going to go ahead and blow the rock slide and redirect Horatio if it comes close, because the other one is 5 times as big. And this one has about 100. So the other one's about like 500. And I'm like, is this how I'm going through this? I'm watching these episodes and I'm like, how are they going to get Rick out of here? Is it this other herd?
I know.
Like, some with this bridge. It's going to be some with this bridge. And then we find out that they also have a savior walk-off problem, and they have lost 6 saviors. They have just left this bridge project, disappeared into the night without a warning over the past 30 days.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
That's kind of huge.
Yeah. And it's like, how many of them are there? And it's also like, these saviors, man, this is for them.
Yep.
Like, what are we doing with these guys? How are they just allowed to walk off?
Right. And how is nobody stopping this from happening?
I don't know.
I mean, questions, but also I don't care.
Well, it's like, as we come to the end, we see it's probably not them just leaving, but right. It's also like, y'all just let them leave. Like, nobody, when the first one left, you wasn't just like, where's your boy?
Right.
Get him back here. So let's see. Where do we go next? Rick is, again, just making the rounds like, ooh, who's next? I'm going to go to the infirmary tent. And that's where we see that Sadiq has taken Enid under his wing. And she is an intern.
She is. She's the latest intern at the Grace Sloan Memorial.
And I'm glad. I'm like, Enid needed something to do.
Yeah. I like this. I feel good about it. Get it, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadiq is like, she's a rock star. She can do anything. And Rick's like, good, because I want to send you back because there's a bug going around back home. And Sadiq's like, okay, I'm good. And I'm like, look at this man's eyes. His eyes and his eyelashes.
Yes.
They're so pretty. Yeah. So pretty.
He's a pretty man. Did you see his tweet where The Walking Dead had sent out something with the spider walker looking for a caption? And his was, nope. I was like, that's right. Whoo, you are not wrong, sir. He's so cute.
I know. Mm-hmm. He's so cute. This makes me, I had no plans to go see him at Walker Stalker.
You better make in Atlanta. Some plans.
I know, but I kind of do. Just want to, like, you do. I just want to go up there and see, like, your face in person.
Yes.
He's like, oh my God, his eyes. Yes. I just can't take it. I'm like,
I hope
yes.
You do. You have to go see him.
I don't know. There's nobody else. I mean,
why not? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What else? You can get all this stuff done in like half a day.
I know. I definitely have like hearts in my notes. Like, look at his eyes. So yeah, Enid is left to man the camp by herself, and she's like, "I got this." And I gotta say, I want to say, "I got this." To Rick, and Rick sounds so proud of me as he says, I know. Like, he sounded so proud, like, I know you don't. Like, I think you, Rick. I do got this.
Yeah, I definitely want him being confident in me about anything, honestly. Just anything you got.
Just be like, Rick, I think I can identify, this is an apple, right?
Oh my God.
just anything basic. Like, I think I can. Okay, this is okay. Well, I can identify fruits for us if you want.
Yeah.
I know you can. Okay.
Oh my god.
Now here, take this to Michonne. Come on.
I can that's a freebie. That's a, yeah, I can take this to Michonne. I'm a good courier, whatever.
I know.
I don't know the difference between a carrier and a courier, but it's fine. I know. Oh my god. He's just yes. Yes. Everything about him.
Oh goodness. Oh man. So yeah, Eugene gives one last food update and he's saying that there isn't any because Alexandria is supplying both the sanctuary and the camp. And Rick's not pressed about this because Michonne's handling it. And I'm like, that's right, that's your boo.
It's handled. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. On the bridge, Aaron is extolling the virtues of Gracie's blowout diapers.
This seems right. I don't know why.
What a nerd. What's wrong with you? He's so happy. Like, I put her down for a nap and then just like poop is all over my shirt. It was so exciting. And it was like, Aaron, you weirdo.
He's so weird. That's why it seems right.
And Daryl's just like, oh, great. He's just grunting appropriately. And Aaron's like, well, you'll make a great dad. And I was like, who?
Record scratch. I mean, even Daryl knew that was bullshit. Yeah, okay, man. Yeah, yeah. Okay, sure. Like, you'd be a great, what, father of squirrels? You got the queen of dragons and you got the father of squirrels.
Second of his name.
Hashtag father of squirrels. Oh god.
Yeah, completely out of nowhere. And yeah, I was like, who is Daryl daddy? And please, you better get out of it. Well, yeah, I'm sure several women would
they'd be glad to call him daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
but an actual parent, no.
Yeah, no. I love that he called bullshit though, like, okay.
We see Henry, he's passing out water along the bridge and asshole Justin Savior shoves him to the ground when Henry won't let him take more than his fair share. But Henry ain't no punk and he takes him down with a stick like his other daddy Morgan taught him. And I'm like, Morgan would be proud. Took him down.
He did.
And Justin gets in his feelings about this and he's about to legit attack a child.
Yeah.
When Daryl steps in and then they come to blows. Rick hears all this commotion. He breaks up the fight and everyone is just standing around in a circle watching it like it's middle school.
Yes.
No one's helping. Everybody's just like, this, oh my god.
fight. Ah, sorry. Just knocked my mic stand over.
You're so excited.
I got really into this.
Like, blood sport. Like the governor in his gladiator games. You're like, I need entertainment.
Oh my god. Yep. Pretty much. And I got really excited about this guy too. My Jackson Maine guy, my McGowan Zach. I'm like, can we interview him? Oh, hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Preferably with a video call.
Right. I have been looking at his Instagram.
He is not unattractive.
Yeah. So Rick comes, breaks it up. It's so funny. He's like, stop it. Get back to work. He's so exasperated. Like the exasperated dad.
Yes.
And so in a tent, like the little management tent or whatever, Daryl is so incredulous that Rick is letting Justin get away with this. And Rick's like, it's only for a few more days, you know. We just need to get this bridge finished. And eventually we'll all be able to move forward together on the same side. And Daryl can't believe this. He's like, we'll never be on the same side. Not all of us. And he's like, I've been trying to tell you this for a while, but you haven't been listening. And then Daryl just like walks off and Carol's like, why don't you go talk to him? And Rick doesn't know what he would say. And Carol's just like, you know, Rick, I get what you're doing. And I actually think it's right. But some people just aren't ready for it right now. And this is where I kind of have a big issue with this whole thing.
Okay.
Because while I was giving it up for Daryl last episode, and I mean, I still am to a point.
Yes.
This just seems the same way that it seemed disingenuous with Maggie and Michonne.
Yep.
Seems a little disingenuous here because we know, it's not like we don't know that Rick can't be stubborn.
Right.
Or can be stubborn. Rick can be very stubborn with what he sees for a vision or whatever. And he can be stubborn with Daryl. Like, they've definitely had, this is seems like it seems like this would be a bigger blow up. But they definitely had things where Rick thought one thing, Daryl thought another. Daryl expressed it. Rick's like, I don't care. And then whatever. But that happened mainly in seasons 5 and 6 when Rick was crazy.
Right. Yep.
And I have a hard time believing that Rick would have heard this same thing from Daryl for a year and a half.
Agreed.
And not considered it.
And come to some sort of, I don't know, resolution together. I don't know. I don't like.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
So it's like, I can also believe that, I mean, like from last episode, Daryl, and from last episode, and honestly from, I mean, I know we're just like, oh, it's Scott Gimple. Scott Gimple didn't give him any lines, but at some point that is just the character. Even if it's poorly written, that's the character.
Mm-hmm.
And so Daryl doesn't talk. So has this been happening? Has he been telling Rick this for a year and a half? Or did he just tell Rick this in episode 1?
Exactly. I don't know.
So it's like, I could kind of see if for a year and a half, he hasn't heard it, Rick hasn't heard anything. And then all of a sudden, Daryl saying this, it does kind of sound like it's just a bump in the road.
Right.
If that's what happened, I can see where Rick is coming from. If you're saying to me that Daryl's been saying the same thing for a year and a half and Rick hasn't listened, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
And this is like, okay, so is this a time? This is one of the things with the time jump. It's like these two things that a lot of the story is built on doesn't quite make sense.
Nope. It doesn't. It's like they... It's like with a video when your audio and your screen are not like in like succinct. They're not together. I feel like something's happening like that with this show.
Right. Yeah. And it's if this bullshit has something to do with whatever happens to Rick, I'm going to be pissed.
It better not.
Yeah.
Too soon.
I'm saying, like, if you just try, I don't know what's gonna happen to Rick, whatever. But this just feels like very tenuous, and I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like it. So yeah, I think it just depends on what we're saying, and I don't think we're gonna get a straight answer about how long Rick has been aware or, you know, cognizant of these issues. Mm-hmm. But if it's been longer than, if it's been during this whole time jump, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit.
Agree.
So then we go to the break room or whatever. And Jadis is putting the finishing touches on a sketch of a lady that we saw from Gabriel's photo, like one of his parishioners in the church. And again, like we saw with Maggie, Ed's office. She did it all from just a verbal description. And, you know, Gabriel's really impressed. And she's like, I enjoy it. You know, it makes me feel like one of you guys. And he's like, well, you are. He was like, I mean, Jadis is like, nah, I mean, I guess, you know, it's because of you and Morgan and Rick. And I'm like, so really it's just Rick and Gabriel because Morgan been gone.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, the other people. Nah. And I was like,
what do you expect?
Well, number one, what do you expect? Which she kind of admits to.
Yeah.
But also the way she said it was like, I don't know. Just like, I mean, nobody's talking to me. And then that's not true because I definitely saw her and Tara yep. walking around together.
They were laughing and joking.
Yeah. So what? And then I'm like,
what that says is nobody really cares about Tara. Nobody cares. She's like, that doesn't count.
Well, I mean, true, but it's just, I don't know. It's just like Tara will be friendly with anybody.
She will.
And so I just don't like the kind of woman Jadis is. I just feel like I don't like her. Like, she just kind of seems like the, I don't really get along with women.
Uh-huh. Know?
Like, she seems like that type.
Yep.
Because, again, she's walking around with Tara and she's over here telling Gabriel, like, it's really only, you and Rick are really only ones that make me feel welcome. And then I also had a problem with her just ignoring Michonne, like, completely as Rick's partner mm-hmm. in everything, like, his partner in life and his partner in leadership. Like, she just would not acknowledge Michonne at all. And I'm just like, something about her, I don't like her.
Yeah.
Just beyond what she did. It just, I don't, she's the kind of woman that like rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I don't like, I'm just like, ugh.
She's annoying. Also, was she like yeah. I wonder if she was like one of those like criminal sketch artists.
No, in the past. I mean, I don't know.
That'd be interesting. She could also pick up moonlight and do that. Who knows?
I know. So they pick up some extra dollars on the side.
That's right. Part-time job, girl.
So, yeah, she's like, she tells Gabriel that Rick's not the only good man around. And it starts caressing his hand and he chuckles uncomfortably, takes it away. And I was like, yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck. Mm-hmm. it's so random. It's so, I mean, and not everything has to be like a love connection, I guess. I mean, definitely not everything has to be a love connection, but it's also like her.
Really? Yeah. No, I had thoughts. I did not like it at all. No, it doesn't. I don't know. I'm not feeling it in any capacity.
Mm-mm. At the demolition site, Rosita and Arat, they have this uneasy alliance. And then we do see that as Rosita sets off the explosion, it does indeed bring Horatio back around to them. And as Rosita was saying why she doesn't really trust Arat, it does seem weird that Arat is allowed to roam free.
Agreed.
Because she was like the most ride or die Negan of all.
Yep.
Like, just shoot. Arat, shoot. Boom. Bye, Olivia.
Yep. Like, R.I.P. Olivia. We can't, I guess we don't care anymore.
well. I thought the same thing with Barcode. Like, yeah. She was so intent on, like, I got to get back here to tell everybody that Dwight's a triple spy. Like, and it's just like, you're doing too much. You're way too invested in this. But yeah. Now everybody's like,
they're fine.
Have some, yeah. This stuff doesn't make any sense.
No.
Tara is in like this huge crane in the sky and radios to Rick calling him Mother Goose.
super cute.
Yeah. And he hated it. Tara, do you have anything to tell me? Yeah, she's like the annoying little sister. Like, I kind of love their dynamic.
I did,
like,
too.
Like, every time, like, when like, she wanted to fist bump him, and he was just like, I guess, girl. And when she gave him the bird, and then this time, Tara, do you have something to say?
That was great.
So Tara is giving him a report while Jersey Shore tries to talk to Rick, though he's clearly in the middle of something. He's so exasperated that Rick can't give him his full attention right away. And I was like, this is why I don't like you.
Uh-huh.
So Rick gives the go-ahead for Tara to initiate, like, Siren One to lead the herd away. And finally, he's like, okay, what's up with, you know, what's up? And Jersey Shore tells Rick that none of the AWOL saviors made it back home. And now all of the other saviors that are at the bridge are scared. And they might decide it's best for them to leave since they're the only ones without a gun. And I'm like, how are they scared?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they scared?
Yep.
All they know is their friends left.
That's it.
What are you talking about? Shut up.
Oh, he's so annoying.
Oh. And Rick's like, well, you know, we'll just make sure they're protected. And then Jersey Shore tries to, like, draw this dubious parallel between Negan. And I'm like, this is why I hate you. Oh, so they work for you and you protect them. Who's that sound like? Are they working for Rick or are they working for their food?
Sounds like you need to shut the fuck up, Jersey. That's what it sounds like.
Right. These people have no skills. They are not any kind of productive member of society. This is the very fucking least they can do is work on this fucking bridge so people can keep giving them food. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Like,
I go back to the sanctuary since you love them so much.
That's what I'm saying. I think he should be over there. Let him just go and be their fearless leader. That's fine. And also, right. Let's just forget about them. Okay, you moved. That's cool. Here's your shit. All right, don't talk to us ever again. Bye.
Oh God, I hate that man. And so while he's over here trying to sun Rick, Rick is like, I'm not even listening to you, because he gets distracted by Tara on the walkie because she's trying to get in contact with the second person doing the siren, and they're not coming in. They're not responding. And she's saying, you know, without that, they will send the herd straight into their group. Which, speaking of, we see the crew that the herd is going to run right into, and they are busy loading up lumber when the zombies show up. And in the commotion, a straight up tree trunk rolls on Aaron's arm.
Ugh.
As he pulls like a savior out of the way of the tree trunk. And when they finally get it off of his arm, it is nasty.
Ugh.
Like, it's like flat.
Ugh.
His arm is just like flat. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, it was. Daryl tries to help Aaron get away. And as he's doing that, the rest of the bridge crew comes in to save the day. Rick is a madman with the hatchet.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I do have to give a little prop to Daryl here. Where, you know, he went after the walkers and he whipped out his two knives all V for Vendetta style. I was like, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say something, but then he only killed the two.
I know. But I thought he was going to do more. Like, it was cute. I was like, okay. All right.
Well, I mean, you know, that's for you.
Yeah.
I was just saying I expected more. The way he brought it out, I was like, oh, he's about to just, like, go down
Unleash.
The line. And he just stopped. Yeah, he didn't. He just stopped.
Just those,
like,
two.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So, yeah, Rick with the hatchet is where I am, because he was going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Just that's what we all want in our lives. Just boom, everything. Then he takes, like, he sees this gathering of lumber tied with ropes around it. He takes, like, this Zen breath and he shoots the rope holding the logs together, and it it sends them rolling down the hill, and it's like flattening zombie heads. And I actually did like that one as well.
It was cool.
Yeah, we love a resourceful leader.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Also, like the look he gives, it's very intense.
Yes.
When he's shooting, and I feel like it was like directed at me and not the logs, and I'm like, what do you need me to do? We're here. What's up? But yeah, those zombie effects were fun in that scene. And I mean, Aaron's arm, as gross as it was, that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So good job, Nicotero. This is what I'm saying. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to
do. And that's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Ever.
So Daryl and Aaron come into the infirmary tent. They're looking for Sadiq, but they only get Enid. And they unwrap Aaron's arm, and she looks at it. She gets a little scared for a second. Then she's like, she comes down. She's resolute. She's like, gotta amputate.
She's like, the power of Rick is working through her, honey. She's like, Rick says, I've got this. I've got it.
I know. What was that? What if that was the only thing she knew how to do? Like, just amputate?
I kind of wondered that, because it escalated real fast. She's like, okay, we have to amputate. And they're like, what? Hold on. You can't. What? That's it. That's like you go in to the doctor and you're like, yeah, I've got a cold. We definitely got to amputate that.
I know. It's like a splinter amp. That's got to come off. Oh, that has got to come off.
Oh, God.
I also laughed because, like, Aaron was like, oh, no, my arm, huh? Amputate.
What? Ruh-roh, Jackie. I love him so much, but also. What?
He just stopped, like, he just stopped all his moaning. It doesn't really. I'm fine. I think I just wash it off. I think it'll be
fine. Yeah, just wrap it up. It's fine. I'll wait for Sadiq. Oh, God. As soon as this happened, I was like, I know I'm going to laugh about this. Like, I know it's coming. What's he about to do? There it is.
Oh, man, she can't even give him painkillers because it would take too long for him to kick in. So, like, she grabs, like, this butcher knife and a blowtorch, and she just gets to hacking. And he does give her a little pep talk before she does it. He's like, you could do it. She's like, okay. And then, that was nasty, too. It was, like, the smallest knife. Yeah. Like, get Rick's hatchet. Like,
right. Just
a couple blows or something. Like, she over here just sawing like
a steak knife. let me cut your steak up for you, honey. You would think that if they know that amputations are a thing that they have to do sometimes, they would be prepared.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we using the steak knife? I don't understand. You mean to tell me after how many months that we still don't know that this is something we have to do sometimes?
Right.
Okay.
Ugh. Sucks for Aaron.
Yeah.
So, Daryl is helping to hold him down, helping to, like, tie off his arm and stuff. And after the danger's over, Daryl comes huffing out of that tent, all out of breath. And he goes into the supervisor tent where Carol is already berating Justin. And when it comes out that Justin was supposed to be at point two, Daryl cannot take it anymore. And he just beats his ass again in front of everyone again. And Carol pulls Daryl off of Justin and was like, we don't deal with them like this. Yeah. What did you think about how Daryl dealt with him?
I'm fine with it. I don't like that guy. He's terrible. But also, Yeah, it doesn't really go with the spirit of what we've been talking about how, you know, we have to have rules of how we handle things and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But also,
yeah,
I was fine with it.
Yeah, me too, at first. Because I was like, you know, Aaron doesn't have an arm now.
That's right.
But it's also, yeah, it's just like, Daryl, he does this all the time. Yeah, he does.
So, I mean, he's not all that different.
He's not. And I just want him to maybe just grow up a little bit. Just a little bit.
He's using full sentences. So, he just couldn't go the full distance, though. It was just too much.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, I would rather him use less words and more emotional control.
Yeah.
But who knows if that's going to happen. Maybe they'll do it with Andy's money that he's getting.
Probably not.
That night, Justin is salty about that ass beating he took. And he tries to buck up to Rick. And he's like, you're a bitch. You need to call your bitch off. And he says, Daryl almost killed him for nothing. And Rick's like, excuse me? And he comes up to him and he's like, I used to be a cop. I was, am, and will always be the law. And
that's right.
Tells him,
rule me, baby.
Tells him to get his shit. Yeah. He's like, get your shit. Get out of here. He's like, and if I ever see your face again, stitches won't fix what I do to you.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I don't know, but I'm always up for a challenge.
That's right.
like, what do we need to do? I like to explore new things.
Yeah. I like bitches get stitches, Rick. I like this one. I'm okay with it.
I'm just saying, I volunteer for whatever is going to happen. It seems like it's going to be a good time for me. like he looks so hot.
Yeah, he does. I'm like, so with these stitches, can you like tie me up with those? What are you doing? Is that an option? Do I get to pick?
I know.
Oh god.
Oh gosh. And then Justin, he's like, you can't fire me because I quit.
That's right.
All right. Then that night, Rick checks on Aaron and he just like apologizes profusely for, you know, missing an arm. And he's like, I put the project first and you paid the price. And Aaron won't hear it because ever since Rick came into his life, he made it so that it's not the end of the world anymore. It's the beginning of something. It's the start of a new one. I'm like, yes, that is the proper tribute to Rick.
Yes.
he gave you such new things.
I know.
Aaron has Comic Rick's injury.
Mm-hmm.
Comic Rick's beard.
Yep.
Will he get Comic Rick's storyline?
I mean, well, number one, this is all terrible. But number two, better him than Daryl.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it anyway. So but I would be less upset about it. No, that's a lie. You know what? Never mind. It's all terrible. it's all gonna suck.
Yeah, it is. Oh goodness. So what's next? Gabriel and Jada's bone.
No. Gross.
And then next. Everyone except for the saviors, they're out in the campfire getting along, laughing, telling jokes. Rick, he comes out and he watches this from like a tree from outside of the gathering. He got a little smile on his face. And Carol and Ezekiel are like inside the circle and they're also watching this fondly. And Carol gets to thinking and she just casually asks Ezekiel if he still has that old ring around. And he's like, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. I do. Yes. Yes, I do. And she's like, I'm not saying yes, but, you know, I thought I'd try it on for size while you're gone. And Zeke, he gets so excited and he tries to get down on one knee a couple of times. She's not here for the shits. She's like, don't do that. Don't get him.
You're embarrassed.
He's like, no. And he's like, oh, come on. I wrote a speech.
No.
And that's the most on-brand thing ever. And I love it. She's like, I'm sure you did. You could read it to me later. It's just like, do you want to get engaged or do you want to read a speech? And
so cute.
So he puts it on her finger and he's like over the moon about this. And she's like giggling. She's smiling. She likes it too. And I was like, now that's cute.
That was cute. I liked that part.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very cute. And Rick saw this as well, and he's, you know, just smiling more. And I was like, are you getting any ideas, Rick? What's going on?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like, how did Zeke jump to, you know, to home run here and out here with Rick is just like, no, I ain't gonna not go find a ring. No, mm-mm. What? What?
What are we doing?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
It makes me mad, especially now that we've kind of determined that this is a fairly new relationship. What?
Right. Just what we doing? Just nothing.
Like you couldn't find her a ring? I don't understand. Glenn found a ring. The Kang found a ring. You need to find a ring.
The Kang found a ring.
He's so cute, though. I love the King. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like his smile, he was cheesing so hard.
I did like earlier when he said, I heard there was trouble. Like, he swoops in like Batman. He's so cute.
Oh. So Jadis is now taking over Tara's spot from the high up watch. She's newly inspired. She's doing wire sculptures of frogs now, in honor of her and Gabriel's mating session. Uh-huh. And while she's up there, she sees and hears a helicopter overhead. And looks a little worried.
What do you know, Anne, with an E?
Yeah.
Or without an E? I don't remember.
It's with an E. It's with an E, but, you know, that's specifically reserved for Anne of Green Gables. She does not get that honor. So then we see Justin is wandering down the road with someone watching him from the woods. He knows who that person is because he's like, oh, you scared the crap out of me, man, or whatever. But then he gets attacked. Wasn't expecting that. Any ideas on who that is?
Nope. Sure don't.
I'm like, who else could it be? Like, only person. I mean, Dwight's not coming back. That's the only person I can think of. Like, but why would Dwight be attacking people?
Yeah, I don't think he would, and I don't think that we know any of the other saviors enough to know or care.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't really know.
Interesting. This is also bookmarked. This episode is kind of bookmarked by, you know, Rick is telling the story of this day to Negan. And he starts off the episode pulling up a chair. Like, it's been a while since we had one of these talks. He's very Southern in these scenes. And he's telling Negan, like, yeah, we're not letting this define us anymore. We really come together. We're making so much progress on this bridge, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we're all coming together. We're flourishing. That's human nature. And he's like, so what if we're behind schedule and a man lost his arm? That's just the way it goes sometimes. And then Negan's like, cool. When can I get out? And Rick's like, never. You know you're dying behind these bars. And then Negan's like, all right, well, since I'm here, he quickly tears down Rick's whole vision of what's happening. He's like, these people are not coming together. And I thought it was funny that Rick was like, they all came together. And it was like literally just all the people that would have been cool anyway. It was literally just Oceanside, Hilltop, Kingdom, and Alexandria with no saviors there. But he just really took that as a W. Negan's like, yeah, whatever. This is not going to last. And he's like, and when it all comes to shit, why don't you come back down here and tell me about that too? And then he also adds, he's like, who's this future for? Is it for Carl? And Rick's like, don't you ever
keep his name out your mouth.
Do not take his name in vain. And Negan's like, oh, whatever, your family's dead, so is mine.
What?
And this bridge is just a monument to the dead. And the only thing you're doing, Rick, is getting the world ready for me. And I was like, how many fucking times are people going to talk to Rick like he doesn't have a family?
I know. Like you don't have a whole ass Judith and a whole ass Michonne.
Right. Right. I'm like, it's offensive. It's honestly offensive.
Yep.
And then when Rick doesn't correct them, it makes me think that Rick, like, low-key believes it.
Well, he ain't got a ring. So, I'm salty. You know what? Like, I like you, but...
It's bullshit. Like, it's bullshit for us to go from, you know, him seeing Judith painting with Michonne and, like... telling Michonne like, how'd I get so lucky to find you and all this stuff. And then when people are like, you ain't got no family, he's like, you right, I don't got no family.
Right.
I'm like,
what the hell?
What are we doing? I don't like it. It really gets on my fucking nerves.
Yeah. And you know everybody knows. I mean, especially fucking Negan. I don't trust that Jadis is of sound mind and spirit, but you know, but Negan definitely know. You had spaghetti in his damn house.
Right.
Like, what? How are you going to act like you don't know? I don't know what we're doing.
I know. I don't like it. But there it is. And that's the episode. The bridge.
Bridge over troubled water. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, then. If we're just getting too close to the end, I don't like it. Okay. Well, we had lots of feedback this week. I feel bad. I feel like people were like, oh, you done came for us. I wasn't meaning it like that, I promise. That's just teasing. So our first one comes from Miss Patience. We love Patience. She says, hello, my two favorite super cool dead chicks. Scrap my late letter last week, but I am going to include some of what I wrote last time because it needs to be said. So let me get right to it. Thank you for sharing so much of your time and energy to bring us this podcast. I will surely miss checking in weekly for an hour with you two. It was an honor and so much fun to meet you both in Nashville. Definitely check that off my bucket list. I know, what can I say? I'm a huge Walking Dead nerd, and I just love your podcast so much. Thanks for making time to meet us. Oh my God, you guys, I was literally crying over here, and I'm using the word literally correctly. We love you, by the way, Patience.
Aww.
That when I read that, I did cry, so. She says, well, I gotta say, it's been a great couple of episodes. Can it really be Rick's final episodes? I just don't know how they're going to wrap this up so fast now. Last week was hard to process with so many new things happening. The time jump was strange, but I think it is because Angela Kang is having to reboot things a bit. I kept thinking that Carl should be there. It just didn't seem right to not have him there, knowing Rick is leaving. Daryl is amazing. He and Carol were the best. I want more Carol and Daryl time. Do you think someday they will bring those two together romantically long after the king dies? I was never a shipper, but maybe someday, off in the future, it could happen. Is he going to get with Cindy, or is he going to get with that Cindy chick from Oceanside? Ugh, please no. I, too, had issues with Carol and the king last week. I'm still not sure. One more thing about last week. I understand taking the plow and wagon, hard to find good ones, but they had to take the ancient canoe. They couldn't find a boat elsewhere. Let's just destroy everything. She says this week's episode was funny when Michonne told Maggie that she hated what Earl/Greg did to her and Enid. I wondered, what about little Herschel? That little baby got pushed over onto the ground. Aww. I know. That damn bridge. Who cares that Henry was pushed down? Oh my God. Don't throw sand in Daryl's eyes, you jerk. Michonne planting her little seeds of democracy. She's so cute and smart as hell. What is the difference between a charter and a constitution anyway? She seemed pretty adamant that it be a charter. No, Aaron's effing arm. His arm! Sobbing emoji. His arm was horrid. I did have to laugh at how it kind of shook like Jell-O when he picked it up, though. But ew, ew. It was so gross. Oh, Aaron, why did this happen to you? Why? Sad face emoji. And then when Enid said she had to amputate it, holy shit, oh my God, wow, you go, girl, that was intense. The way he said, what? was so funny. I want to go back and listen to it over and over, but who wouldn't say what like that? And then finally, Jadis and Papa Gabe. Did she just grab his? Oh, she did. I miss old Jadis's hair. Jadis's old hair. Much love from Patience from Minnesota.
Do you think that, well, Patience is convinced the kings die?
I feel like we established.
Do you think Carol and Daryl are gonna get together romantically?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Oh,
I do not.
Yeah, I don't see it. I honestly, like, I think it was like season 3 where I was like, yeah, sure, why not Carol and Daryl? But really, their relationship is really like you. That's like brother.
It's very familial.
Like,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah.
Like maybe even mother and son. Maybe even like, and I mean, honestly, it has nothing to do with his age, her age or anything. It's just the way they interact.
It's because he's like actually a child on the inside.
Yeah.
He is still kind of like a teenager in a way.
Yeah. I just don't think they would be good for each other. No. Like, honestly, if anybody, and I wouldn't want to do this to Aaron, but if anybody, I'd be like, oh, maybe Aaron. But again, I wouldn't want to do that to Aaron.
Yeah. I mean, although better than Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Ugh. I can't.
I just don't see Daryl as a sexual being.
I don't either. And like, I just can't see him with, like, I mean, I can't see the Cindy thing. Like, I can't see him. I refuse with anybody.
Yeah.
But okay. Our next one comes from Keon. She says, hi, ladies. So happy to have y'all back for this last season. Listening to the podcast last week, I was like, oh, I've missed them. We miss you too. So, I must say, I liked last night's episode, despite the lack of Rashawn time. But I like that they're setting out doing what they laid out during the last week's Pillow Talk. They are just the best. Did y'all see that the director, who shall not be named, said the words from the scene were in the script, but everything else was Andy and Danai? Oh, I'm going to miss them so much. Okay, about this episode. Here are my ramblings because I'm feedback rusty. Didn't we forever cancel Eugene? Gosh, I couldn't understand a thing he was saying. I know, that's so true. And I refused to turn on the caption for his nonsense. So what's with this new Rosita look? And she braids her hair, but Sasha never did? Okay. Why is Anne/Jadis so unhealthily thirsty? I was like, give in, Gabe, before she starts trying to push up on Rick again. Okay, Walking Dead, why are you going in for the strong emotional manipulation? Having the camera go back and forth from baby Herschel to that picture of Glenn. I couldn't pay attention to anything Paul was saying until he was like, Michonne's not wrong. Then I was like, correct. then back to the baby and memorial wall. And damn, did Beth not make that make the memorial wall? Oh, that's so funny. I didn't think about that. Beth wasn't
there. She was there.
Huh?
Yes, she was.
Oh, she was?
Yes,
okay.
She was. Uh-huh.
She said, so apparently Maggie still don't give a shit about her sister. I didn't pay attention to that part. I'm never looking for Beth. She says, even Eric Bay is up on the wall. Oh, yeah.
Oh, was he?
I didn't notice that one either. See, nope, didn't. I was looking at Herschel, honestly. Why they gotta do poor Aaron Bay like that? Full screaming when Enid pulled out that little bitty ass surgical knife. Everyone was good in that scene from what I could tell through my screams. Side note, so we are losing Rick and Aaron's going to be the visual representation of comic book Rick to carry on the look. Cheryl will love this. But once again, they have brought back the things that made people fall in love with Daryl in the first place, and I'm not mad about it. You just have to ask, what was so hard about writing him with something to do in the first place? Eugene, on the other hand, to quote Rick, fuck that guy. Okay, cameraman, you had to shoot Maggie and Michonne from the back for apocalyptic jean/pants science. I understand why let good butts go to waste. Also, hand clap for Maggie and Michonne having meaningful conversations and both making valid points. Continued hand clap for Aaron giving Rick that encouraging word when he needed it. Reminded me of their discussion after the boat caper in season 7. I like when people give the famous Rick Grimes his props, especially when he's feeling low and second-guessing his decisions. Stop clapping when we had to end the episode with Negan. And the way the last scene was shot was making me think they were trying to draw parallels with them again, with each having a side of their face shaded. Just stop it. But I'm ready for next week. Lord, the time seems so short. I'm not ready for what's to come. I need heavy doses of Rishon goodness. Love y'all. Oh, Keon, I know. This is...
It seems that we shall get it.
I think we might. All right. Next one comes from Kenda. This one's a short one. Notice how Anne didn't ask Father Gabe if she could lay with him. She just gonna do it. Well.
She did just grab his
junk. You are not wrong, Kenda.
So watch. Did she just give him a blowjob? Like, is that what... was that what happened?
I felt like that's what happened, to be honest. I felt like she just... Yeah, okay, anyway. So the next one's from Netta Bear. I know. I can't. Oh. Father G, you have so much repenting to do for this. Oh, I was really liking you too, man. You just got really shitty taste now. Okay. Netta Bear says, hi, ladies. It's so good to hear you on the podcast. I know it's the last season, so I'm savoring every minute of it. Just like I'm savoring every moment of Rick Grimes. I wasn't a fan of the time jumps last season because they were so random and would go back and forth. This time jump is progressive but leaves out a lot of character development that we just jump into. For example, Anne and Gabriel. No buildup, we just jump into their relationship. And I'm having a hard time with this one. The Anne that I know best is Jadis, and I haven't seen anything about her that makes me excited for her to be with Gabriel. I don't know this woman who speaks in complete sentences, so I think they're missing the mark on not developing these relationships. I was glad when they didn't take Rick's hand when they were supposed to, but to substitute Aaron just made me sad. I don't get why it had to happen now, and why Aaron. I'm kind of upset about this because, you know, it's Aaron Bay, sad face. Maybe now they will give him more depth since he can't be a worker bee anymore. Make him a king. Major eye roll when Enid made the decision to cut off Aaron's hand. She barely looked at it. I kept wishing for Sadiq to show up at the last minute to stop her and say it wasn't necessary. At least send him to Alexandria so the real doctor can look at it. Daryl has a motorcycle. Use it. Seems to me that Paul, will be taking over Hilltop after Maggie leaves to join Georgie. You weren't the only one that got that. Maybe Aaron will move to Hilltop and they can govern the place together and raise Gracie together as well. How about Henry? I like how he stood up to Savior Justin. Just knock him on his ass and walk away. Carol taught him well. Okay, speaking of Justin, Zach McGowan is one of my favorite actors, to be honest. He's a great bad guy. Anyway, at the end, when he disappears into the woods, he knew the person he was talking to. I have to wonder if the Saviors are regrouping and hiding somewhere new. They are planning a coup on Rick, so predictable. I guess a year and a half isn't long enough to get over the war. Y'all were right last week when you said it's like we picked up right where we left off. I know it takes time to get over those kinds of things, but they should have been further along in inter-community relations. I swear Alden has spoken so much more than Tara and Rosita. Who gave him lines? I see so much happening with Rick, delegating duties, letting people voice their concerns, trying to get everyone on the same page, all of this leading to his departure. He's definitely setting things up in case he dies. But the writers are also setting up a savior uprising that will mess something up big time. Overall, the story is moving well. I just think we missed out on the development of some of these characters that they're pushing on us. If things go like they did in the comics, there will be a lot of heartache coming soon. I'm ready to see the Whisperers, but I don't think we'll see them until 9B. Okay, until next time, love y'all. We love you too.
Honestly, I'm fine with not seeing anything about Jadis.
Definitely fine with that. Forever. Next one comes from Miss Ariel. She says, "Hey ladies, I tried to write this review on my laptop, but realized that in order for it to flow properly, that I had to type it like an angry text message." I love her so much. "I liked this episode, even though I found myself agitated about a few things. Here are a few thoughts. I was glad that we got to see the Cariel Ezekiel dynamic that we fell in love with last season. The season premiere had me worried that chemistry I thought I saw between them previously was a figment of my imagination. Glad that wasn't the case. I even enjoyed seeing Henry and their dynamic with him. I still ain't got a fuck to give towards that kid, but he knocked a savior on his ass and didn't annoy me. So he gets a pass this week." Oh, I love it. "What I'm not glad we got to see is whatever the hell, is developing between Father Gabriel and the heapster formerly known as Jadis. I understand that everyone needs love, but absolutely fucking not. They gross me out." Especially when she grabbed at his junk. "But I did cackle loudly at the I'm Episcopalian line. And speaking of things that gross me out, poor Aaron Bay. He's out here raising little Gracie and enjoying fatherhood. And the next thing you know, his poor arm is out there looking like jerky and seriously making me gag. Now it's gone because of that douchebag savior. And speaking of that idiot, he really took all the L's. Little Henry knocked him on his ass, Daryl beat his ass, and Rick threatened to do some damage to his ass that stitches couldn't fix, and I enjoyed it all. If he didn't like how things were working, he could have kindly left a long time ago. I'm not sure what happened to him in the end, but I honestly don't care. Once again, Angela Kang has me out here agreeing with Daryl over Rick, and it's concerning. Rick is not listening to Daryl's complaints about the Saviors at all, and it's annoying. I get that he's trying to bring Carl's dream to fruition, but at what cost? It's been almost 2 years, and these assholes still can't get in formation with everyone else? Time to cut them loose. Those who want to thrive and survive will, and the hell with the rest of them. Daryl is fed up, and I don't blame him. Let's hope he doesn't do anything stupid because of it." There is that.
Well, let's be real.
Yeah, it's Daryl. I saved Maggie and Michonne for last because honestly, Maggie is on my fucking nerves. Her passive aggressive bullshit is really starting to grate on my nerves. Like, she clearly has a problem with what Rick and by extension Michonne decided to do in keeping Negan alive. And instead of calling them out, she just looks like she's power tripping, especially after hanging Gregory in front of everyone. She could have easily killed Gregory in private because that beef was between the two of them, not Hilltop. But she wanted to flex. She has so many opportunities to just flat out state her issues with what they did and are doing to Michonne, and she didn't. And I'm just over here right now. And I'm just over her right now. Even with that, I did enjoy her and Michonne's scenes together. I do like that even though they aren't on the same page fully, that there is still a great amount of love and mutual respect between the two. I was irritated that I didn't get my requested 5 minutes of Rochelle and Pillow Talk this episode, but I'm letting it go for now. Sorry if this is all over the place, but I was trying to get it in and not flop on missing reviews 2 weeks in a row. I feel so bad. I feel like everybody was like, oh my God, she's calling us out. Yeah, definitely don't like the Maggie-tude, the Maggie attitude situation.
What do you think about what she said about killing Gregory in private?
I would have been fine with that as well. Honestly, I just really wanted him to die.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that would have been worse, actually, if she would have done it in private. That's the little, like, the beef was between her and Gregory, but it was also just like a larger thing having to do with the community. Like, you know, I think anybody who tried to kill somebody a few times should probably not be around anymore. And I think as long as she clearly explained that, which I don't know that she did, all she said was the punishment fits the crime, and she didn't really elaborate on what the crime was. But I think that would have been worse, just to have like her quote-unquote competition just end up dead one night.
That's true.
Without like clearly explaining it.
That's a good point. Well, what I wonder is, like, I mean, is there a way she could have done it where she made the choice but didn't necessarily decide to kill him in front of everyone, where everyone was aware? How I took it. Like, where people would be aware, but didn't have to make a show of it.
Okay. No, I didn't think of that. That's true.
I could be on board with.
Yeah,
no, I definitely don't think, like, just her just, like, out here just shooting him in the middle of the night would have been a good idea, but not becoming. But if she let everybody know, I could see that.
Okay.
This next one comes from Miss Cheryl. She says, "Hey, you two, glad we're all back together. I have to say, I really liked both of the episodes so far. Naturally, I am overjoyed that Daryl is not just a dirty lump of flesh groaning anymore and is speaking in full sentences and is giving us some valuable opinions." You're not wrong, Cheryl. I do have to say, though, I am definitely Team Maggie here. I feel really good about the way she handled all the things, hanging Gregory and also putting Earl in jail. I thought it was a little bit inappropriate for Michonne to ask her if she really needed to do that. I mean, the guy tried to murder her. I don't think Maggie should have to say, okay, he tried to kill me, no biggie, let's let him out of jail because the saviors are starving and he can solve the problem because he's a blacksmith. I was also really glad to see that everything wasn't all kumbaya between the communities. When we left off at the season finale, I felt like all the hugs and smiles and rainbows was a little over the top. I was glad that Rosita reminded Arat that she slashed up her face and that Jada / Anne is feeling like a bit of an outsider. I mean, I think that's perfectly normal. And I was super glad that we found out that they have stripped the sanctuary of weapons. And back to Daryl. I do think that Rick needs to listen to him. He's making perfect sense. I don't think all the saviors can be trusted. Did you all get the vibe that they brought up the Georgie and the twins thing? Because that's definitely how Maggie is exiting. I also I agree about the whole King and Carol deal. Their kissing seems very awkward and not very passionate, so I'm not really enjoying them as much as I thought I would. Glad you're back and can't wait to see episode 3. Let's see here. And our last one comes from Mrs. G. Mrs. G here. I enjoyed the episode greatly. It was a solid hour and Kang is doing the damn thing. But I am pissed beyond measure right now and I need to vent. Please indulge my lengthy rant.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Buckle up. Okay. I have to say it. Michonne needs a ring. Yes, ma'am. I love that she said this. I don't think that's asking too much. Karzekiel goes canon, Zink proposes, and Carol gets a ring in 2 fucking episodes. Spoiler alert, Jerry and Nabila got fucking grown-ass kids. And FG damn near, Father Gabriel, damn near getting head in the woods. Hell no, I rebuke it. My well-meaning friends try to calm me with that bullshit about Rochonne transcending traditional marriage snow job. miss me with that garbage. Evidently, marriage or acknowledgement is cool for everyone but Rishon. I don't doubt Rick loves Michonne. My problem is, where are the fucking grand overtures for her? Those fuckers didn't have no problems doing it with Maggie and Carol. Carol's 104-year-old ass. Oh, boy. Sorry, I got choked up. Why with Rishon must we have to infer? No one else's relationship is in Morse code. Karzekiel got together over the time jump, so that makes this bitter pill I have to swallow even worse. We didn't see Karzekiel go canon, and yet they got more sentiment than Rishon. It's literally been 2 episodes, and we've seen more action with other couples than in 3 seasons since Rishon went canon. So I'm supposed to swallow Gleggy's marriage and Karzekiel's dry-ass union, but no Rishon acknowledgement? And then they kick me while I'm down, make me watch Rick observe and smile as he watches Zeke proposing. We're supposed to be okay with Michonne not getting a fucking ring. Bullshit! They passing out rings, babies, love scenes, and proper lighting to every ship but Rishon. I'm tired. Andy and Danai can't fucking do it all in interviews. It's bullshit. But they have no problem showing Rick Dick Michonne down every night, even if it's badly lit. They think Michonne is good for a fucking. They could at least give us the courtesy of proper lighting. They really could. I mean, holy shit.
Exactly. That's really all we ask for.
It's terrible.
We just want to see it. We want to see
how
it.
How long y'all been in this business? And you mean you can't light them? Like, I don't, whatever. Okay.
I mean, but honestly, it is very well known that, you know, when people are lighting people other than white people, they just don't know how. They were never taught. And so, like, Steven Yeun's talking about, like, my skin is different and they don't know how to light me and they have to figure it out or just not do it well. And so that's the thing that pisses me off. It's like, okay, I get it, you know, it's just deal with white people, but go learn something.
Like, if you want to have a diverse people, cast, learn how to right. diverse light.
Right.
What the fuck?
There's actual show, like, they talk about Moonlight all the time. They talk about Insecure. Insecure lights people beautifully. And so, why don't you go learn something, man?
Yeah. Like,
that's my thing.
Look, I mean, this information has to be out there if other people are doing it, so... What's the excuse?
Right.
Ugh. Okay. They tethered Rick to that trifling Lori, but when he's in a mutually loving and respectful relationship, they won't honor that? Pure fuckery. So now Rick's leaving, Michonne has no ring, no Rishon baby, raising Judith all alone and running the Alexandria safe zone without the love of her life. It stinks. Spoiler alert, Judith is going to call Michonne mom, but she can't be Rick's wife. Shaking my head. Andy is the best. I thank God for him every day. I appreciate when he expounds on Rishon because the show doesn't do it nearly enough. Apparently, Michonne can't have nice things with the exception of the cat sculpture, which was sweet as fuck. I'm really upset and want to cry right now. Michonne deserves the world just like the other women. That is so right. 9-3 is supposed to be Rishon heavy. So just remember, keep expectations low. The new motto is Michonne doesn't deserve nice things. Keep saying that and it'll hurt less. Thank you both for allowing me to rant. Rishon are a treasure and we know their worth. It's a shame we have to fight for basic shit for our lovelies. Oh, and how many times do I have to remind Maggie? Always listen to Michonne. She did what the queen wanted in the end. Till next week. Love y'all. Love you too, Ms. G. Yeah.
No, I get it. Like, yeah. It's like, why can't we have both? Because right. Honestly, I feel like no hyperbole, like they are this, like, the, as Bim says, they're the ship of my life.
Yeah.
And honestly, they have been built beautifully. They have been built beautifully. Better than Karzekiel, yep. Better than Glenn and Maggie. Yep. Like, they have been so perfect, and part of that, most of it, has been the way Andy and Danai put their time and put their energy into that. And we have been so blessed to have them be the portrayals of our ship. Mm-hmm. But it is just like, just little, it's so, because they bring such richness to it, I don't necessarily all the time, but you can forget, like, dang, she can't get no, can't get no ring. Like, we can't do any, like, all this stuff. Like, all these couples are progressing, like, normally, natural. No, well, I don't want to say normal or natural. I don't, but just like, kind of like how we expect things in society to proceed. And then we just have this beautifully nuanced and portrayed thing. And it's just like, what?
Right. And why can't you have the both? Why can't you show, right, you know, that not only that they clearly have a strong bond, marriage, however you want to look at it, but why can't they also have the symbolic, the symbolism of a wedding and a engagement?
Especially when everybody, just like she said, when everybody else does. It'd be one thing if nobody else did it.
But everybody else is doing it. Everybody. Right. Oh, God. If Father G and oh, I swear to God, I'm gonna hurt somebody.
That was so
gross. Oh, why? Like, they are just straight up determined to cram that woman down our throats. Like, they are so determined. I mean, I felt like her doing that to him was literally them doing that to us, like trying to cram it down our throat. It's such symbolism. And I'm like, I do not want this. I am saying no. I do not want it. Get it away. Oh, shit. No. Oh, it's so gross. I don't want it.
Nasty.
It is. It's really, it's what they're doing. And I just felt like that was just their nod to being like, yeah, you like that? No. No, I don't. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Get it away.
Yes. Oh. Pure demon, just of evil.
Oh. Oh. Gross. Well, that was it. You have anything else for this one?
I don't.
All right, then. Well, guys, we'll see you guys next week. Whoop, whoop.